Namaste. Let's start. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om. So, today we are going to be talking about another very important topic, which is creation. Now, before we enter the topic of creation, I would like to revisit whatever we did last week a little bit in detail, because it's difficult for us to get into creation if we don't remember all that we have learnt in the last few classes, right? Let me try and quickly go through. So, first and foremost is the definition of Atma, right? So, the definition of Atma is very, very important. So, Atma kaha, stula sukshma karana shariraat vyatiriktaha, panchakosha titaha san, avastatraya sakshi, satchidananda swarupaha san, yatishtati sa Atma. The one who is distinct from the gross, subtle and the causal bodies, being beyond or having transcended the five sheets or the koshas, and who abides as the witness to the three states of experience in the form of existence, sat, consciousness, chit and chaitanyam, sat chit and Satchidananda Swarupam, and Ananda in the form of fullness or limitlessness, is either Atma, the self. Right? Now, this definition in itself, in only today's class, I've introduced this in this form, because this set of, you know, four or five lines will not make sense in the first class when we introduce, right? Only when you have gone through what the Shariratrayam is all about, what the Panchakoshas are all about, as well as what is meant by Avastatrayam, will you be able to relate to this particular definition. So hopefully today, at least we all have some idea as to what each of these terms mean, and therefore Atma is nothing but the awareness, consciousness behind all of this, right? With this, let's enter the Atma topic itself. Quickly, let's go over some of the key points that we saw. Atma is of the nature of consciousness itself, Chaitanya Swarupam. The key facets here we saw was that because Anatma, that is Shariratrayam or Panchakosha, whatever you take, they are all Jadam, right? Material principle. Whereas what we experience in the body, right, we experience a conscious body. Therefore, if the body's innate nature is being material and jadam, the extension or corollary is there must be something which is lending chaitanyam to the body. And that chaitanya swarupam is Atma, right? So, Atma is the original lender that is lending chaitanyam to the body. This much we need to remember, right? So, Atma is the non-material principle, the spiritual principle of the nature of consciousness. Chaitanya Swarupaha or Chidrupaha. Now, the next thing we saw was, we saw some of the important features of consciousness. The first thing we saw was, consciousness is not a part, nor a property, nor a product of the body. Right? We clearly said that it is not like height, weight, complexion, etc. We also said that it cannot be produced, right? Shastra says it is not produced. It is not produced like, you know, some chemicals that can get generated in the brain. No, it is not like that, right? It is not a property or a product or part of the body, right? That is what our Shastras say. Secondly, consciousness is an invisible and independent entity which pervades the body and makes it alive, right? It's exactly like the invisible electricity that we are not able to see, But when we say switch on the fan, in the form of the fan moving, the electricity manifests, right? It is, however, not a product of the fan. It is a separate principle which exists independent of the fan. So the second lesson we learned was that consciousness is an invisible and independent entity, right, which pervades the body and makes it alive. The third one, I said, this invisible independent consciousness is not limited or circumscribed by or confined to the boundaries of the body. What this means is it is present everywhere, right? It is boundless, limitless, dimensionless, etc. However, in the body, it is present as the consciousness which is getting lent for that body to be conscious. However, consciousness by itself is not limited, right? Or confined to the boundaries of the body, right? Like exactly like electricity. Electricity is there across the wire everywhere, right? But where does it manifest? Only in the fan, in the bulb, etc. It manifests, right? The fourth one, this invisible independent consciousness will continue to survive even after the body medium dies, perishes, or is destroyed. This needs some more explanation, definitely. And we will see more of it today and in the next class, right? So, this says the fourth lesson is that the invisible one continues to survive, the invisible consciousness. Exactly like even if the fan or the bulb is removed, the electricity still continues, but because there is no medium, it is not manifesting, which is the fifth one, right? So, after death, the surviving consciousness cannot be contacted by us or recognized by us, not because it is not present, but because the medium of the body no longer exists. That means the body, there was life in a body till say 901. 902, somebody has passed away. We are not able to transact with that consciousness because there is something that has quit the body and the medium of the body no longer exists, but the consciousness is still around, right? So, and of course, after the body perishes also, the consciousness is there, but it is not manifesting in that body. What is the reason why it's not manifesting? That is a small aspect that we need to cover in today's session as well as in the next session we will do that, right? So, Atma itself is of the nature of Chit, Sat, Satyam or existence, right? We also refer to this as existence. The very existence is Sat or Satyam, right? Chit is consciousness, Ananda is limitless happiness, and we were talking about how Purnaha or boundless or limitlessness actually gives you Ananda because you don't miss anything in life. I don't lack anything in life. I am Purnaha. Therefore, I am Anantaha, right? And that results in Ananda. And I also talked about how Krishna also tells in Gita, right? Prajahati Yada Kaman, we spoke about that also, right? In the last class, saying that the sense of completeness leads to Ananda, right? So, we said, Evam Satchidananda Swarupam Swatmanam Vijaniyat. Realize that Satchidananda Swarupam in the form of Atma in your self, the inner essence, I, right? Only thing is to assimilate this reality, one needs to contemplate a lot, go through a structured methodology, a systematic way of studying, right? Which is through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Now, the shift happens and in claiming Aham Chaitanya Swarupaha, Aham Swatantraha, not that the Atma is there somewhere and Atma is Chaitanya Swarupaha, Atma is Swatantraha. That is the beginning stage, right? When you're talking about the features of Atma, etc. But what does Vedanta say? Claim that Atma as yourself. Do not claim the Anatma as yourself. The shift is going to bring about Purnatvam in you. So, Aham Chaitanya Swarupaha, Aham Swatantraha, Aham Nirgunaha, Aham Nityaha, Aham Sarvagataha, right? And Aham Ekaha, non-dual. So, Atma Ekaha. Now, when I say that, you start wondering, oh, okay, if Atma is Ekaha, then what happens to all the Jivas? How can the same Atma be there everywhere? So therefore, I introduced a diagram in the last class where I said you have the Atma behind each of the Shariram's, right? We will go through that in detail at the end of the session today. Therefore, I am not getting into it now, right? I remember that I showed you a diagram and we need to discuss that. We will do it at the end of the session. So now we will move on to creation or Srishti, right? Now this is very, very important, which is the other side, right? This is the Srishti, which is at the macro level, right? So we are going to see the topics at the macro level, which we refer to in Sanskritam as Vyashti. The one that we saw at the Jiva level is Vyashti. This is the Samashti, right? So the world level, what we refer, the macrocosm is Samashti. The microcosm or Jiva is Vyashti. It's not important that you should remember these words. In case anybody is interested, the microcosm level discussion that we had is referred to as Vyashti. And the macrocosm discussion that we are going to have today is Samashti, right? So we'll go through Srishti in detail, right? This Srishti is what the Shastra talks about Srishti. I am not speaking about the scientific way of speaking of Srishti. So we will see how Srishti is, manifestation, etc., right? So now Srishti or creation is nothing but cosmology. So how does the cosmos or creation come about and what was there exactly before creation came? This is going to be our discussion, right? In Sanskritam, we call this Srishti, but one important thing is creation is a misnomer, right? Creation, the word creates confusion, right? Because we believe that there is nothing called creation. It is only manifestation. Now, people who are familiar with physics and who anyway in high school it is taught, by the very law of conservation of matter and energy, which was accepted long before the modern science came, the Sankhya, right, the Satkaryavada as they are called, they were very clear, right? They said law of conservation of matter and energy is absolutely true. They in fact propounded it as Satkaryavada, saying matter cannot be created or destroyed in their own language. This language was used later on by the scientists, right? So, in Mandukya Karika, it is very beautifully presented by Gaudapadacharya, saying nothing can be created, right? And extending the same principle, nothing can be destroyed also, right? If at all we use the word creation, it only refers to manifestation of something which was potentially or unmanifested form existing. So, what is unmanifested or potentially existing in dormant form, that alone can come to manifestation. Now, what do we mean by the word manifest and unmanifest? By the word unmanifest, we mean pramana agocharam. That means it is beyond the perception, right? Beyond the perception of sense organs. Unmanifest is that which is existent in potential form. Now, for example, unmanifesting like, say, take butter in the milk, right? Butter is there in the milk, but you cannot see it in the milk, right? But don't we know that there is butter in the milk? Obviously, we all know that, right? So what do we say? We say it is existing technically, but for all practical purposes, avyavahartavata. It is, you cannot use it for vyavaharam because it is not available for perception nor available for any transaction, right? But therefore, we assume butter is non-existent and butter is coming out of milk, right? But actually, it is already there in unmanifest form. So, you can extend this to anything in the creation. Nothing in the creation is non-existent. It was existent in potential manner, right? And if this creation existed before, it should have existed in unmanifested form, dormant form, which we call the seed of the creation. In fact, we use the word bijam, right? We use the word bijam in Shastram. In fact, in Dakshinamurti Stotram, we talk about bijasyanta rivankuro jagaditam pran nirvikalpam punaha. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, this reference to bijam itself is there. Nirvikalpam means undifferentiated, unmanifest or in an untransactable form, right? So, this is the causal form of matter. So matter in its causal form, which is the source of all forms of energy and all forms of matter, existed. Very critical takeaway from this slide is matter and energy, whatever as synonyms it can be treated, it existed in unmanifest form always, right? Anadikale it was there. That is the takeaway from this slide, right? And that is what we refer to as Maya. Maya is the source of all forms of energy and all forms of particles, all forms of matter, all forms of things, including Shariratrayam. Very, very important point, right? Now, scientists also want to arrive at this. They want to arrive at one basic principle which can explain all the subatomic particles at the micro level as well as the macro level. They call it theory of everything, actually, right? So according to our scriptures, that basic stuff, which is the source of all forms of energy as well as all forms of matter, which includes particles, molecules, such things in the creation, we call it causal matter or Maya. And it includes Shariratrayam also, right? Now, borrowing this idea from whatever we discussed so far, we saw that Atma is a consciousness principle, which is the non-material spirit, which doesn't come under matter, right? Now, consciousness also is Nityaha, right? We talked about it, right? So now what has happened? We have arrived at two things. There were two things before creation, right? We said matter in its subtlest form, an unmanifest form, potential form, existed as Maya. And consciousness also always existed, right? So there are two aspects, consciousness as well as Maya. Both of them existed, right? So it is very, very important to understand that. So Maya as well as consciousness both existed before and they existed always. So that is Anadi. Now that is called Atma. That consciousness is called Atma. Now, and in the context of cosmology, in the context of creation, right, consciousness is given another name. Okay, the very same consciousness at macro level is now called Brahman. Okay, very important. The same Atma is called Brahman. Both are the same consciousness, right? It is exactly like having a nickname. A friend calls one name and other office people call you another name. It's the same name for both. Like Brahman and Atma refer to consciousness. They are not referring to two different things at all, right? Now, Atma means Apnoti Sarvam Iti Atma, the boundless one, right? That's the exact meaning, the word meaning. Whereas if you take Brahman, it means infinite. It is derived from the root brh, to be big, the absolutely big one. This is the boundless one. It means the same. It refers to the same thing, right? Therefore, the study cosmology begins with two beginningless principles known as Brahman plus Maya, right? So, Tattva Bodha, in fact, starts this section only with that, right? Brahmashraya Sattva Rajas Tamo Gunatmika Maya Asti, right? So the ashraya or the support is Brahma, Brahman as well as Maya both existed from Anadikale, beginningless time, right? So they existed before creation because, as I said, creation is nothing but manifestation, right? Now, what is the common feature of both Brahman and Maya? Common feature is both are beginningless, both have no origin, right? But the differences have to be noted. Brahman is Chaitanyam, Nirgunam, Nirvikaram, Nirvikalpam. We saw all this, right? Consciousness, they are attributeless, changeless, not subject to spatial division. We saw this just now as Atma's features. Now, I said Atma and Brahman are the same. So, it's just the same. I've just listed four features here. Maya is the opposite of this. Maya is material principle, Jadam, right? And it has attributes, sagunam, is subject to change because it is matter principle, is subject to multiplication and division, the beauty of the world, etc., comes from Maya, right? The variety, right? The novelty, the beauty of the world comes from the Maya aspect, right? So, Brahman is a non-material consciousness. Consciousness is propertyless, whereas Maya has all of this and it is material or jadam in nature, right? So, Srishti is nothing but abhivyakti. We use the word abhivyakti because abhivyakti means comes to manifestation for our recognition, for worldly recognition. Like you churn and bring out the butter, then the butter is available for consumption. Similarly, with abhivyakti or abhivyaktam, the world comes into manifestation. How does it come? We will see that, right? So, the world manifests out of Brahman and Maya. Manifestation or abhivyakti. Let us quickly see what are the steps before we get into the details. So, first, similarly, Sukshma Prapancha will come from Karana Prapancha. Now, for those of you who are wondering, oh, we heard Sukshma and Karana. Now, this is Prapancha, right? We are not talking about Shariram. We are talking about Sukshma Prapancha and Karana Prapancha. In English, referred to as subtle world and causal world, right? Stula Prapancha comes from Sukshma Prapancha. The gross world comes from subtle world, right? Now, what happens is there's first the Karana Prapancha first of all, the Prapancha is in Karana or causal form. I talked to you about the Bijam form. So, from that, the Sukshma Prapancha first comes, the subtle part, right? That's an intermediate stage. Because as we saw, even body, when it was evolving, you can think of the mind being a subtle manifestation and it is not available for all, right? It's not available for perception by all. Similarly, Sukshma Prapancha is also not available for perception by all. Then from that, it becomes gross. When it becomes gross, the world is available for everybody to see, right? Then the causal or Karana Prapancha is beginningless, as I already said, and the universe goes from manifest, unmanifest to manifest, and manifest to unmanifest. And the universe has always been there. Only avastha or condition changes, whereas the universe always exists. So, between pralayam to pralayam, it will go back to Karana Prapancha and then get manifested in between. Right? So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells in chapter 2, right? Avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyakta nidananeva tatraka paridevana. Oh Arjuna, beings are unmanifest in the beginning, manifest in the middle and are unmanifest in the end. What is the use of grieving over them, right? So, he is talking in the context of all the people who are anyway going to be, they will just manifest and again go back to unmanifest state and they are not going to disappear or anything. So, why are we grieving over them, right? Universe will always be there, right? And Krishna, in the context of death of near and dear ones of Arjuna, is talking about this, right? Now, stage one. First one is Sukshma Bhuta Srishti. Okay, we'll go into a little bit of details now. So, first one is Sukshma Bhuta Srishti, right? First, out of the causal universe, five subtle elements are born, or Pancha Bhutani. Now, these are not the elements of modern science. They are the same five that we saw. And the good thing is, these five have remained five for the last several centuries, thousands of years, right? The same Akasha, Vayu, right? Agni, Jalam, and Prithvi, right? So, space, air, fire, water, and earth, right? These are the five subtle elements. In the initial stages, they are in subtle form, which means they are not available for our transaction. Now, most important point to be noted here, it's not something new. According to Shastra, space is also a created element, right? It is not eternal. And this fact is now being accepted by scientists also. Now, I don't know whether any of you follow these things. There are experiments comparing space and vacuum. So, vacuum is nothingness or emptiness, right? Whereas space, we talk about elasticity of space, etc., right? And we also know that sound, transmission of sound is possible only in space, not in vacuum, right? So science now accepts that space is a very, very subtle, elastic matter. And we also talk about bending space, curving space, etc., right? But this fact has been recognized in our scriptures thousands of years ago, right? And it's not even visible. Now, another interesting aspect pointed out in the scriptures is that the property of sound is ever present in the space, right? They say that Omkara, right? Anahata Shabdaha or Avyakta Shabdaha, the unmanifest sound, right? Omkara Nada is always there, right? Only thing is our ordinary ears cannot hear, right? So, that's the Eka Guna Akasha. Akasha has just one guna. We will shortly see more details about it, which is, you know, the hearing or the sound, right? Now, from Akasha, Vayu, Air, Vayu, Agni, Jalam, in that order, they come about, right? The elements evolve one by one, right? Now, only one number is in Sukshma Bhuta Shrishti, right? We should also remember that as they are coming up, there are three features which are common, which is widely present in the cosmos. We say Maya is Trigunatmaka. That means it has Jnana Shakti, which leads to Sattva Guna, Kriya Shakti, which leads to Rajo Guna, and Dravya Shakti, which leads to Tamo Guna. Sattva Guna is nothing but the knowing faculty, right? Very, very subtle faculty, that is Sattva Guna. It helps in acquiring knowledge. So, the Jnana Shakti is associated with it, right? The second one is Kriya Shakti, capacity to be active. That is the Rajoguna aspect, the dynamism, right? Motion, dynamism, Kriya Shakti, right? That is what is the Rajoguna aspect. Dravya Shakti is, you can compare it to inertia, right? Inertia is Tamoguna, right? Now, every person, every aspect of the world is a mixture of all the three gunas, except that some of them are in more ratio compared to the others. Like some percentages will be higher, some will be lower. But Maya itself is Trigunatmika. Therefore, everything which is a product of Maya will have the three components in them in a ratio, right? So now, in Sukshma Bhautikam, which is the next stage. So here what did we see? We saw that the Sukshma Bhuta Srishti happened. Now next is Sukshma Bhautikam or Sharira Srishti, right? Now these three gunas are inherent in Maya, as I told you, Trigunatmika Maya. Endowed with these threefold features, we see everything in the universe, right? Now each subtle element has also got three gunas, okay? So total is 15. 5 into 3 is 15 items you will have. Each subtle item has got all three gunas. Then I'll shortly show you a pictorial representation. You will definitely be able to catch this. So first Sukshma Bhuta Srishti happens. Then all the Sukshma Shariams are born out of Sukshma Bhutani. So all the Shariams that you see, the millions of species you see, are all born out of Sukshma Bhutani. And which has the Pancha Nanendriyani, which is born out of the Sattva aspect. I'll come back and revisit this slide, right? Mind out of Sattva of all the five Bhutams. And then we have Pancha Karmendriyani. We'll see the diagram and then come back to this slide. Yeah, give me half a second. Okay. Now I hope you can see this. Now we have, right? We have five organs of knowledge, right? So, how are they formed? Pancha Jnanendriyani. So, I hope you understand the first table which I put there, which is nothing but Sattva of subtle space, Sattva of subtle air. Like that I've listed. Sattva, Rajas on the right side and then Tamas in the center. That's all. All three aspects have been listed for all the five elements. So, it's a 5x3 table. First thing. Now, next, what am I saying? We've got five organs of knowledge. Pancha Jnanendriyani. Now, these five organs of knowledge have to be associated with what? With Jnana Shakti, which is the Sattva aspect, which is very, very logical. Creation has been very nicely and beautifully presented, right? So, therefore, the five organs of knowledge have the knowing faculty. Therefore, they are born out of the five elements, right? Five and five very nicely connected, right? And the Sattva Guna, which stands for Jnana Shakti, right? Sattva Guna component or the five elements are responsible for the generation of the five sense organs of knowledge. And in what order, right? Sattva Guna component of space is responsible for the ears, right? So, Sattva Guna component of air is the generator of skin. Sattva Guna component of fire is responsible for eyes. Sattva Guna component of water is responsible for the tongue. And finally, the Sattva Guna component of earth is responsible for the organ of smell, that is the nose. Okay? So, all that you need to know is the five organs of knowledge are born out of the sattva aspect, sattva guna aspects of the panchabhutam, right? So that's all you need to know for the jnanendriyani. We will get into a little more detail, right? Now, the inner organ, the mind, intellect, memory and ego, very easy to extend this, right? They are born out of what? The fourfold mind with coordinates, they come from all the five sense organs. Why? Because the mind has to control the five sense organs. Otherwise, it will not be able to control each of them separately. So, the mind, intellect, memory and ego needs to have a mix of all the five panchabhutam, but the sattva guna aspect of them. Clear? So, just like we have sattva guna of individual items contributing to ears, skin, eyes, tongue and nose, the sattva guna aspect of all the five panchabhutams contribute to the mind, intellect, memory and ego. Right? This is the sattva aspect now which is covered. Now next is the pancha karmendriyani. Right? Very easy to extend. Now five sense organs of action. Action means what? Kriya shakti. Right? So rajas component. So we have rajasic component of face is responsible for speech, the organ of speech, right? So, one organ for speech. Then we have another for hands and legs, right? Rajas of subtle air for hands, rajas of subtle fire for legs. Then we have subtle water, rajoguna of that contributing to the anus and the rajoguna of the subtle earth to the genitals. Basically, organ of excretion, organ of procreation or progeny, right? So, this is how the rajogunas contribute to the organs of action. From there only they manifest, right? And obviously, the pancha prana are the one that is giving all the energy for the movement of all of these, right? So, that is again, just like we saw in the case of mind, here all the five elements, the rajoguna of all five contribute and to the prana. So, from the rajoguna aspect of the panchabhutams emanate the pancha pranas, right? So, the entire sukshma shariram is born out of the sattva guna and rajoguna of the five subtle elements. Therefore, now we have seen sukshma bhuta srishti and sukshma sharira srishti. So, in short, the entire subtle universe we have seen. First stage, what did we see? We saw Sukshma Bhuta Srishti, that is the world itself got created. Then, in the second stage, we saw the Sukshma Sharira Srishti. So, now we have seen both the subtle world as well as the subtle Shariram getting created, right? Now, when we say created, again, we must remember that it is manifestation out of the Karana Shariram. That much we must remember, right? This is not a fresh creation, right? It is just manifestation by the combination of subtle elements, right? Now, there is a very important point here which we will see. Note the gradual increase in the number of sense organs perceiving a particular element, right? We will see this shortly, right? Now, what do I mean by this, right? Now, when Akasha or space is there, you will see that there is only one aspect that is discerned by the space. Why? Because the sound, if you think of it, only sound is associated with Akasha. Okay? And sound is born out of Akasha. very, very important, right? Whereas, when you see, when I say Akasha, this is Sukshma Akasha, not the Akasha that we see. You must remember that always. We are studying, we are now talking about Sukshma Shariram and Sukshma Prapancham. So, the Shabda is born out of the first element, which is the space, right? So, you will see that Shabda is associated with Sukshma Akasha. When it comes to say Vayu, you will see that Vayu, which is born out of Akasha, from Akasha Vayu comes, you will see that Vayu adopts Shabda as well as Sparsha. So, one from the parent, literally, okay, I'm trying to use the word parent, and one its own special, right, property, which is touch. So, if you actually think about Vayu, you can hear the sound and you can also feel Vayu, right? Very, very beautiful and subtle aspect of creation. Now, take Agni. If you take Agni, you will see Shabda, Sparsha and Rupam, right? So, when you go from subtler to grosser, not gross actually, just subtler to less subtler and less subtler, you will see that more sense organs can discern. So, for fire, you can hear the sound, you can feel it, right? Obviously, you feel hot when you touch Agni. You can also see the fire. And when it comes to Jalam, you can also taste, right? It is Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, all four for Jalam. And Prithvi, you can add smell also. So, all the five sensory perceptions for Prithvi is applicable. There is a sound, the rumbling of the earth, right? The touch or feel of Prithvi. You can see Prithvi. You can see the colors, the forms. You can see, you can taste Prithvi. You can smell Prithvi, which is the, you know, during when rain comes, you can actually smell Prithvi. So, for the fifth one, actually, if you see the fifth element of Prithvi, is associated with all five. It can be discerned by all five. This is just an interesting connect, but very useful to know this, right? So, now, revisiting the first slide on Sukshma Bhautikam that we saw. So, each subtle element has all the three gunas. And first we have Sukshma Bhuta Srishti. Then we have all the Shariams which are born out of the Pancha Bhutani. So, we have Pancha Jnanendriyani. Then we have Antakkaranani. Then we have Pancha Karmendriyani. And then we have Pancha Pranadayaha. Right? All of them are born this way out of the Sukshma Bhautikam only, right? Now, moving on to the stage 3, right? Now, this is Thula Bhuta Srishti, third and final stage of creation, right? Now, the scriptures point out that we have now utilized the Sattva aspect as well as the Raja aspect, right? We have utilized this, right? Now, the Tamas Guna, the Tamas component of the five elements alone gets grossified to form the five gross elements, Pancha Sthula Bhutani, the visible universe that we see, right? From the Sukshma Bhutam, now we have to see the visible universe. Just like we have a visible body, the visible gets grossified from the Tamoguna aspect, right? The five gross elements come from the Tamoguna aspect, right? And each one is isolated, but when grossification happens, there is a mixture. We will see how the mixture happens, right? Now, the tamo component of the five elements alone gets grossified to become the five gross elements. Each stula bhutam is mixed. Just wait till I get to the next table, next slide. Predominantly, it is one of the bhutas, right? You will see that in the table here, right? So, what happens is, now the gross space is nothing but it is 50% gross space, tamoguna, plus 1/8 of each of the four elements. Okay, sorry, it's a little bit of math. So, 1/8 × 4, right? That is another 50%. So, 50% is gross space. The rest of it is the mixture of the four, right? So, if you see in this table, right, this process of salad kind of making is called panchikaranam, right? Grossification. The five tangible gross elements like this, physical earth, right, sthulam, water, tangible water is sthulam, then fire, air, everything is sthulam. ஸ்தூல பௌத்திக சரீர சிருஷ்டி. சோ கிராஸ் ஸ்பேஸ் இஸ் ஹாஃப் ஸ்பேஸ் பிளஸ் 1/8 ஏர் பிளஸ் 1/8 ஃபயர் பிளஸ் வாட்டர் பிளஸ் எர்த். சிமிலர்லி கிராஸ் எர்த் வில் பி 50% எர்த் பிளஸ் ஸ்பேஸ் பிளஸ் ஏர் பிளஸ் ஃபயர் பிளஸ் வாட்டர். You don't have to get into too much of these technicalities, but it is important to understand that when the sthula bhautikam is getting manifested, it is the tamoguna aspect of the panchabhutani which is actually getting manifested. Right? Now, all along, what is happening? All this maya only was changing. Right? Abhivyakti was happening. Right? In the presence of Brahman. Brahman is remaining. Right, as consciousness, right, that is very very important. And now what happens here, right through, right now, it is just like you know, the DNA and RNA and cells, right, which are all there and it gets manifested. Similarly, all of this, whatever happens, the entire blueprint is available in the Karana Shariams, which are also part of the Karana Prapancham itself. They are all available in causal form all the time. So through a process of this Sukshma Shrishti etc. and Stula Bhuta Shrishti etc., the manifestation or creation happens, right? Now, what are we going to see after this? We are going to now see how the consciousness itself is going to change in all of this, right? How is each consciousness going to be reflected? Because we saw in the last class that consciousness is reflected in each of the bodies. So what happens at the prapancha level? Is there a different process? What is the exact detail we are going to see now? Right? So reflected consciousness. If you remember, this was the last slide that I put up in the last class. Right? I said jiva will have the original consciousness getting reflected in the gross body as reflected consciousness RC3. Then I said jiva in the subtle body RM2, the atma getting reflected in the subtle body RM2 is RC2. And then we have the original consciousness getting reflected in the causal body as RC1. Now, Atma remaining the same, the important takeaway from this is, depending on the kind of medium, the consciousness can vary. While the original consciousness or Atma is the same, right, it is all pervading, it is ekam. Whereas, when it is getting reflected, depending on the quality of the medium, whether it is RM1, RM2 or RM3, the RC1, RC2 and RC3 can vary. This is a very, very important point that we have to note. Right? Now, the same diagram, I had presented it like this and I had left. Right? So, I said RC3 is referred as Vishwa, RC2 as Tejasa and RC1 as Pragna. They are just different names for the Atma which is getting reflected in each of these. Right? And the reflected consciousness, all of them put together, is generally referred as Chidabhasa, right? Chit is the original consciousness and Chidabhasa means the reflected consciousness, all put together. And this whole set of, you know, combination of RM3, RC3, RM2, RC2, etc., that is Shariratrayam, plus the corresponding consciousness is referred to as Jiva, right? Now, what happens? This note the subtle change that I have done. Here I have used Atma, the original consciousness. But now I am switching to Brahman because Brahman and Atma are the same. This is referring to the original consciousness, except that we refer, when we talk about Vyashti, that is the microcosm, we generally refer as Atma. And when we talk about the macrocosm or the Samashti, we generally refer as Brahman, right? So, this is what we had seen on the Atma side. Now, on the other side, we saw Karana Prapancham, we saw Sukshma Prapancham and we saw Stula Prapancham. I was in a dilemma whether to use the English words in the table or Sanskritam words. I've used the English words, but please try and remember the Sanskritam words. So, RM4 is Karana Prapancha. RM I've repeated RM4 twice. Okay, RM4 is nothing but Karana Prapancha. RM5 is Sukshma Prapancha. RM6 is Stula Prapancha. Now, the corresponding original consciousness of Brahman, which is getting reflected in each of these prapanchas, has a specific name, just like we saw yesterday on the other side. This is Antaryami, Hiranyagarbha and Virat, right? So, at the Samashti level, the reflected consciousness in the Stula Prapancha is referred to as Virat or Vaishvanaraha. This word may sound familiar. Very many times in our puja, we use this, right? And the reflection, OC reflected in the Sukshma Prapancha is referred as Hiranyagarbha, and the OC reflected as RC4 in the Karana Prapancha is referred as Antaryami, or sometimes that is also referred as Ishvara. I didn't want to confuse, therefore I didn't add the word Ishvara there, Antaryami, right? Now, this is the Jiva side and that side is the Ishvara side. You will note from this itself that Brahman, the original consciousness, is one and the same behind all these different prapanchas as well as shariram, right? So, it is the same. It is not any, the OC or the Brahman is Ekam, Advitiyam, whatever we saw as the feature of Brahman or Atma. Whereas, all of this, right, because on the Ishvara side, the reflecting mediums are superior, obviously, these Ishvara will come with superior attributes, superior characteristics, and on this side, because of the shortcomings of the reflecting medium, the reflected consciousness will also have the same set of shortcomings, right? Now, just to, we will speak about law of karma, etc. in the next class in greater detail, but just to introduce you, at the time of death, right, it must be obvious by now that this part goes away, right? So, what remains is RC2, RC1 along with the causal body and the subtle body. Now, this part, which is actually the Jivatma, is sometimes referred as Atma by a lot of common people because they do not understand the Vedantic significance behind the meaning Jivatma and Atma. Therefore, they will loosely use the term soul, right, or Atma. Now, we, once we go through the course and we understand, must understand that what we are talking about as the departed soul is this part, which is the RM1, RC1, RM2, RC2 combination. We'll see more about this later. Right? Now, I just wanted to, talk about a few things before I also open up for questions today in case people have questions. First of all, a very important point, I have put up a set of slides in addition to the presentation last class where I've talked about, your questions. You can please send in your questions by 3rd October to sanskritfromhome@vyomalabs.in. The questions that remain unanswered, right? Most of it I'm covering in the class. By end of class 11 will be clarified during class 11. So what I've done is I've taken out some of the questions that need some revisiting. I've put it down here. I've also taken some kind of questions which I've not even, answered yet, which I will do, say, tomorrow, in the next week or so. And I've also put down a few questions that we need to, sort of answer in the summary session. Now, please go through this, and if you have any additional questions that you need to, put up before 3rd October, please send it so that, I can take it into the slides and make a presentation so that, we can get this clarified. Today and last class being a little abstract and subtle, I thought I could take some questions today. Hopefully it will work. So if you put up your hands, I can unmute you and you can actually ask questions. I don't know whether you're aware, there is a feature called raise hand. So if you want to raise your hand, you can raise. Yeah, I see Gina Mohandas. Yeah, please speak up.
Ma'am, I would like to know more about the macrocosm and microcosm.
Okay, is there anything specific that you would like me to touch upon?
Because that part, it's actually not clear with this, related to this. That's why I'm just asking.
Okay. Now, microcosm is nothing but the jiva and macrocosm is nothing but the Ishvara, right? So, in microcosm, we are referring to the three shariram. Stula, sukshma, karana shariram. That is the shariratrayam that we discussed. Similarly, in the macrocosm, we are discussing the three different prapanchas, which is stula prapancha, sukshma prapancha and karana prapancha. Now, in the microcosm, we discuss all the OCs, that is the original consciousness, which is getting reflected. The three different reflected consciousness, which you see in this diagram. So, basically, it's nothing but a combination of the... If you take the left hand side, that we refer to as the microcosm, and the right hand side, which is corresponding to the world along with the reflected consciousness, that is the macrocosm.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Harish. Yeah, please. Harish? Haresh Asha. You can speak up. Okay, I guess he's... Okay, I will... Yeah, GVR?
In the definition of Atma, there's a Sanskrit word sun. What does that mean?
One second. Soumya, would you like to answer that? Sun.
Sun is... can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. So sun, it just means being. So it is it is just a Sanskrit word which is used when you're talking of several things simultaneously. So being this, also being something else. So it's a common word used.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who also be?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see anybody else. Yeah. Harish, would you like to speak up? Because I can see a question mark. Okay. Jana Iyer. I'm not able to unmute you. Soumya, are you able to unmute Jana Iyer?
It is self-muted, so they will have to click on their microphone to unmute themselves.
Okay,
so fine. A microphone symbol which you can click on to unmute yourself. Then, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that one diagram you showed, in which half, all the Panchabhutani, first part is half, then 1/8, 1/8, 1/8, 1/8. Is it Panchikaranam?
Yeah, that's Panchikaranam. The rossification is Panchikaranam, yes.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay, there are some attendees with unanswered questions. Maybe I should just go to the questions also on the chat. Let me just see that. Yeah. Is Sukshma Bhuta Shrishti comparable to Mahatattva of Vaishnavas or Prakriti Shakti of Shaivites? Actually, I don't know about other philosophies in such great depth to be able to respond to you on this, but I will definitely make an attempt to find out from some experts and come back to you, right? Okay. Now, the second point is on, it will be good if you display the diagram. I guess maybe before it came on, somebody said this. Okay. Dark matter in the universe, according to science, which is trying to find it, it will be Karana Prapancha only, unmanifest. Right? Now, Atma leaving the body and re-entering after some time. Your views on this, please. Now, as far as we understand, right, if Atma is referring to, say, the sukshma shariram and karana shariram leaving and coming, we can explain this, that it is possible. But does somebody have the power to do it and return back to the body consciously? Maybe in the past, some centuries ago, some thousands of years ago, people had that. We hear stories. But today, nobody is able to do it consciously, right, or willingly. But you do hear about these stories in the death bed, or, you know, people going through some heart surgeries, etc. We do hear about it. And the way they speak about it and the way the Shastra also corroborates, like Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram, etc. It's quite possible, because the way they speak and when you hear about these things on YouTube, you do tend to believe that, you know, yes, maybe they had a near-death experience and came back, right? So, reflected consciousness likened to seeing your image in a mirror. If so, is consciousness a mirage? Okay. I wouldn't want to call consciousness a mirage. But yes, the Aarti is definitely an image or something similar to an image. Therefore, yes, your moksha is very closely associated with understanding that it is an image and actually claiming the original consciousness, which we will see in the next class, right? We'll do that. Now, one second. In reincarnation, the consciousness or Atman remembers past life due to causal Sharira or Sukshma Sharira. Absolutely, right? That is why. I think I talked about it also in one of the sessions. It is because of this aspect that, especially as the child is growing up, when the child is very small, there is a very good chance of remembering the past Janma, right? Where does Paramatma fit in? I just covered it, so maybe it was the Ishvara side of it is Paramatma, the Jiva side of it is Jivatma, right? So, we saw the three RCs along with the Shariram, that is Jiva, and the Stula Sukshma Karana Prapancham along with the corresponding Atmas is generally referred to as Paramatma. Corresponding reflected consciousness is referred as Paramatma, right? Now, is there anything else? How does Paramatma fit in? Yeah, I think I've covered the questions. One second. How is reflected consciousness of human beings different from that of other animals? The reflected consciousness is the same in all, right? The only difference is in the as I told you, because of the, we'll discuss in law of karma, due to some reason, the reflecting medium is different and therefore the corresponding quality of reflected consciousness will be different and it will lead to the birth of different kinds of janmas, that's all, right? But the consciousness reflecting in all of them, the concept of RC3, RC2, RC1 will be the same, right? Why is Atman not reflecting consciousness in objects like chairs, tables, etc.? Yes. You need a particular type of body or medium for the consciousness to reflect. That is why it is not reflecting in the chair, table, etc. That part of the medium which is required for reflection can be provided only through, say, a human body or a plant body or an animal body, right? So, I think I've covered all the questions. Let me just... Yeah, I think I haven't missed any question here. Is there anybody else who's put up a hand? I'll just check once. I think we have covered everything. So if you still have questions and doubts, okay, there's somebody, Venkateshwaran Gopala. Okay, I'm not able to unmute. Venkateshwaran Gopala, if you're there, you can unmute yourself. I think it's coming up now. Okay, fine. Attendee self-muted. Okay, so you can write in your questions and I will take it up in the next class. Does somebody want to speak up? I heard somebody. Okay, fine.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, go ahead.
Madam, when we read about Shirdi Sai Baba's this thing, life, he left the body for 3 days and came back. So when in one of your lectures you told Atma, when it leaves the body, then it cannot recognize. It gets mixed with the universal consciousness. So in that case, how he was able to do that? He came back after 3 days.
I think there's some misunderstanding. It will not mix with the universal consciousness at all. I never used that word because the, in fact, more, we are going to discuss in detail next class. When a person attains mukti and finally the person is, you know, let me not get into aikyam, right? When the person is a jnani and he attains videha mukti, we will go through that. At that time, yes, this joining with the one and only original consciousness happens. But if the person is coming back into the body, like we hear a lot of, you know, siddhis, etc. We hear about Shankaracharya, we hear about a lot of saints. I don't know about this particular incident of Sai Baba in 3 days, but definitely if such a thing has to happen, it is only because it is the RP1 and RP2, that is the Prajna, Tejas and Vishwa at the body level which is coming back. Once it merges with the original consciousness, it cannot come back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll just say Purnamada and then we can, you know, stop. 1 second. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashyate Om Shanti Shanti.